Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been thinking together from the section of the New Testament known as the General Epistles. This would be the book of James, the books of 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. Now, these seven books are part of the Word of God. Some Christians feel uncomfortable with them. I've pointed this out before. They look at the teachings of these books, and somehow they just don't feel very comfortable, because these books are asking some questions that sometimes Christians don't want to have asked. They don't want to hear these questions at all. They don't want to answer these questions. Many people, when they profess to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin, want to simply go ahead in their lives, and they want to be left alone, because they don't want to be bothered by God. They want to simply live their lives. This is true, I'm sorry to say, for many teenagers. And I trust if you're a teenager listening to this program, this is not true for you. But many teenagers feel this way. In other words, I have trusted the Lord Jesus when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, and now I'm just going to live my life. And don't lay down a lot of rules for me. No, we're not trying to lay down a lot of rules for anybody. But we're trying to point out something that's very, very important. When a person has come into true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he truly has trusted Christ as his Savior at whatever age, it might be the age of 6, 7, 8, whatever, or even as a teenager or as a young adult or as an older adult, but when that person has trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, there will be change in that person's life. That's what these books are emphasizing, and that's why some people feel so uncomfortable with them. In other words, they're not so much emphasizing the means of salvation, although 1 John 5, we noticed this in our last lesson, does emphasize the means of salvation. But most of the content of these books is directed towards the proofs of salvation. Whereas how may we really know that we have trusted Christ as our Savior? For instance, we pointed out in the book of 1 John, the book we are now finishing. We pointed out in this book that the teaching is very, very clear in 1 John chapter 2, for instance. If a person hates another person, how can the love of God be in him? In other words, how can he say that he belongs to God at all? He's in relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. How can this person say that if he hates another person? And then down later in verse 15, we read these words, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Mark that down in your Bibles. In other words, suppose now that before I was saved, according to Ephesians 2, 1-3, I lived in the world. I was a member of Satan's family. Now, you may not like this description of you if you have never trusted Christ, but that's where you belong. That's where you are. You don't belong yet to God if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. So, I lived in this realm. In the eyes of the world, I was not a bad person, but I still belonged to the family of Satan. I did not belong to God. I did not love him. I did not seek after him. I may have been very religious, but I did not belong to him, because I had not yet come through the Lord Jesus Christ to this relationship with him. So before that, I belonged to that realm. I loved the things of the world. My heart was concentrated. My focus was concentrated on those things, the things of the world around me, the things of sin, in other words, everything that the sinful world could offer. But then there came the day when in true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I came to him. And in that day, there had to be some change. There was some change. In other words, my focus was no longer on that sinful world. I no longer belonged to Satan and his family. I no longer had the same companions I had before I was saved. I didn't go to the same places, whatever. And so this is the emphasis of these books, these seven books that we're talking about. The change that takes place, and I pointed out many times that some people change more than others. I want to be very, very fair. You may have felt in your own life, well, I haven't grown much in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, you still love the Lord. You still love the things of God. You still want to obey Him from your heart. You still want to follow Him. Even though you may fail daily, you may fail in your thought life, you may have sins of the thoughts, of the feelings, the attitudes, the words, the actions, the desires, whatever. You may have these sins come, but you don't love those sins. You're ashamed of those sins when they come. You confess them to God, and you get right with God, and you go on with Him. John 15, 1-3 talks about the Father daily pruning the branch. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And now the Father prunes the branch, takes off the dead twigs and everything. That's what happens when we keep right with God. So we've been looking at this passage. Now in the book of 1 John, let me just review this with you. There are a number of things we talked about. First of all, proving true salvation through walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 29. Proving true salvation through living in love. Chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 21. Proving salvation through making certain of our faith. We talked about that in the last two lessons, and we reviewed it again in the last lesson. This is from chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 13. And then today we're talking about proving true salvation by reaching out to meet the needs of ourselves and others, especially other people, reaching out to other people and helping to meet their needs. He discusses especially prayer here, but we're going to talk about this in a more general way. So I want to look at this now and talk a little bit about this. I want to begin reading with verse 14. And we're going to take this right down to the end, and I would like to finish this this book of 1 John today. Let's begin with verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. If any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Now let me go down to verses 17 and 18. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now let's take this passage, especially verses 14 through 17. Now, it discusses a number of things, and I don't want to go deeply into the theology of this passage, but I want to talk to you in a practical way. First of all, in meeting the needs of other people. Now, this book and the other books of the general epistles have pointed out the importance of reaching out to other people. The Lord Jesus emphasized the same thing many, many times, reaching out to the needs of other people. We read so many times in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, for instance, the deep compassion, the deep heart feeling Jesus felt for the needs of the people He saw, the sick people, people in need of sin and so forth, people who had terrible sins in their lives, and the deep compassion that the Lord Jesus felt for them, His willingness to reach out to them. Now, we're speaking now of the divine Son of God. Of course, He would have compassion. We're human beings, and we might feel that we would not have the same compassion. But we follow the example of the Lord Jesus. When God saves me from my sins, I'm no longer self-centered. At least I should not be self-centered anymore. Some people are, unfortunately, as Christians, but we should not be self-centered anymore. We should reach out now to other people. You see this in many, many passages of Scripture. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 4, those verses clear down to verse 10, speak of the compassion we feel for other people. You think of Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 4, the end of the passage. You see that passage, and you see Ephesians chapter 5. Again, people reaching out, even in husband and wife relationships. People are reaching out unselfishly to other people. Now, that's a characteristic of the Christian life. And what a shame it is when unsaved people sometimes seem to show this characteristic in their lives more than many born-again Christians. What a shame this is, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and we of all people should have a compassion for other people. Now, this passage emphasizes the fact that we can pray for other people. In other words, we can reach out to them in prayer. We can pray with them. We can pray for them. We pray for their needs. We're sympathetic. We deeply care about the needs of other people. People around us, for instance, are going through sorrow. They're going through financial difficulties, job difficulties, family problems, everything you can imagine people around us are going through. Even in the body of believers, there are going to be believers suffering in one way or another. And the fellow believers are going to have to reach out to them. We reach out to both the saved and to the unsaved. And there's what I share, meals, for instance, with unsaved people. Yes, I would, because this is part of the Christian life, reaching out to people, even people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, by tenderness, by kindness, by love, reaching out to people. So that's the emphasis here. It's emphasizing prayer, but there are so many ways that we reach out to people. We see people in need, and we reach out to them. It may be simply prayer they need, or it may be some help in other ways, but we reach out to people from our hearts and try to meet their needs. Now, you come down to the last few verses, the last couple of verses, and let me just come down to this conclusion with you. Verses 18 to 21. Has this to say, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, and so forth. Now, I want to come down to this passage, and I want to close with it. We have tried to emphasize again and again, he's not talking about sinless perfection. Well, what he is talking about, you do not live in that world of sin anymore. You don't love that world of sin anymore. You may fail, but you're going to be tender-hearted in dealing with daily sins that come. You're not going to go on and on and on and let these sins pile up in your lives and plague you and draw you away from fellowship with the Lord. When I sin, for instance, my fellowship with the Lord, not my salvation, but my fellowship with the Lord is hurt. In other words, I can't have fellowship with Him as I should. You see this in the life of a child, for instance, who has committed some wrong in the home. And his relationship with his mother is going to be hurt until he makes it right. He tells his mother he's sorry and asks her forgiveness. Sometimes he wonders, well, what's happened? Well, that thing is standing between them. This arrogance of that child is standing between them. The willfulness of the child standing between them. And so he makes it right. The same in our relationship with God. We keep our relationship right before Him. We've emphasized this again and again and again. And I want to emphasize it as we've come to the end of this passage. And so, we know Him that is true, verse 20. We know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you have this saving relationship with the Lord, heed the words, obey the words of 1 John, for instance, this book we've been studying, and the other epistles of James and 1 and 2 Peter that we've already studied. Heed the words and make sure that your relationship with God is what it should be. And so he closes with these words, this is the true God and eternal life. In other words, this is what eternal life is all about. It's not just about being saved, going to heaven when I die, but living on the earth as I please, sinning and doing whatever I want, but then being sure when I die I'll go to heaven. That's not what eternal life is all about. Eternal life is, from the moment I am saved, I am changed, I'm going to try to please the Lord Jesus with my life, I'm going to live for Him, and then when I die, of course, I have no doubts whatsoever. I've trusted Him as my Savior. I have no doubts whatsoever. Let me say one final word again to you who might not yet have trusted Christ as your Savior. You might be depending upon everything else and everyone else to take you to heaven except Jesus alone. Remember those words of the Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you're seeking to go to heaven by any other means, Maybe you're trying to be very religious. You're trying to live a good life and everything, thinking you're pleasing God. No, the first method, the first step you take in pleasing God is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin. So even if you're in a hospital bed, no one is standing with you. You can simply bow your heart if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Bow your heart before God. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin. Forget everything else you've ever tried. Forget everyone else you've ever tried to go to. Simply come to Jesus. Jesus alone is our Savior from sin. So my prayer for you as we complete this, and then as we go in the next lesson into 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, my prayer for you is that you might heed the warnings of these books that we've been studying. In other words, if you examine your life and there's no change whatsoever, you still love the flesh, the world, the devil, just like you did before, then perhaps your profession is not possession. The difference between profession and possession is this. The one who possesses has from his heart trusted the Lord Jesus, has been born again, and his life has been changed. There's evidence in his life that his life has been changed. Now let me say this again. Changing your life is not what saves you, but changing your life will prove that you really are saved. Let me state that very clearly again. It will not save you to have a changed life. The salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it will prove that you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ when there's change in your life. Has there been change in your life? And are you living a life that is now directed towards the Lord Jesus, towards righteousness, towards pleasing Him? May the Lord help you, each one, as we have come to the end of this book.